the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Okay, the intro to Wake Up, there is someone pouring a cup of coffee, and I just love looking at it. I don't know if that's just a
coffee addict. That's me pouring a cup of coffee every morning.
It is so cozy in the morning. I just love it. So
it's anyway. A warm feeling, isn't it? It's comforting.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
A happy feeling.
And we want to thank River Road for the coffee every morning, too. And we also want to let you know that today is the feast day of Saint Gianna. So we're going to offer up a prayer for her intercession in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. O compassionate Saint Gianna, physician and caregiver to the poor, the elderly, to children, and expectant mothers, looking lovingly upon our humble prayer and intercede for us with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, we trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Gigi, pray for us.
We will learn more about our saint of the day later on during today's show at 17 after. But starting off, let's back up a little bit at 10 after. We have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of these events and so much more that you have submitted at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Dr. Samuel Shepherd joins us. He's an associate professor of biology over at Ave Maria University. Today, he's talking about a new minor in agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship. So we'll learn a little bit more about this new program. In 35 minutes, Michael Litchens joins us. He's a Catholic author, and we're going to be talking about the book, Get Behind Me, Satan. It's just the title that intrigues me, honestly. That's what caught my attention right away. And we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare a little.
Yeah,
in 48 minutes, Sister Marsh.
I was going to say, book written based on Father Amart's experiences as an exorcist.
Yeah, the Pope's exorcist. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about him a few times during our morning show. So looking forward to that conversation with Michael today. And in 48 minutes, Sister Marjorie Aber joins us. She'll be giving us an update on what Catholic Charities is up to in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, which is a lot these days. So always welcome Sister Marjorie with her update. And Damian, how's the weather looking like? Are we going to have a good weekend, a humid, cloudy weekend, sunny?
It's going to be kind of weekend, but we can pray that it could be a real good weekend. Cloudy skies to start our morning again. Those clouds are going to break up in the afternoon, and we'll see a lot more sunshine in the afternoon. Little or no rain expected. If a shower pops up, it won't last very long. In fact, it's less than 10% chance of rain today. High is going to be 87, and winds are going to be light out of the south at 5 miles an hour. So it's going to feel like a summer day. However, that is going to change. Tomorrow, 40% chance of rain in the forecast, and cooler temperatures are going to arrive by tomorrow evening. The high tomorrow, 83. Come Sunday, we have a 60% chance of rain. That's why I'm saying as far as our wet conditions could be. The high, though, is going to drop by 20 degrees. The high on Sunday is 63 degrees, if you could believe that.
What?
The low is going to be 49. So with that being said, rain should be out of our area come Sunday evening. And guess what, Gabby? Monday through Friday next week, a beauty. And so we can count on that. New Orleans, it's 72, 70 degrees in Covington, home of Thibodeau, as well as Bay St. Louis and Baton Rouge, it's 71. It's Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Earlier during the Eucharistic discourse, the crowd was murmuring when Jesus said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Now they are quarreling like their rebellious forefathers in the wilderness because Jesus repeated this claim, adding the graphic expression, "And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." They challenge, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Note, Jesus did not attempt to reach their understanding with logic or to water down his meaning with some symbolic explanation to make it easier for them to believe. Rather, he challenged them to surrender to the gift of faith. Therefore, Jesus responded with emphasis, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." Whoa! Two things stand out in this statement. First, Jesus used the graphic verb trogo for eat, which describes the physical act of eating, that is, chewing. He is clearly speaking about real eating. His meaning could not be more explicitly stated. Secondly, he challenged their faith by adding the graphic words, "and drink his blood." This would be particularly shocking to his Jewish audience because the Mosaic law forbade eating anything connected with blood in it. St. Paul taught that faith is the conviction of things not seen. These men have witnessed Jesus' miracles, which prepared them to believe even though they did not understand. The narrative ends tragically. Even disciples turned back on Jesus and abandoned him. This is the only time that the disciples break with Jesus over a doctrinal issue. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "We have come to believe." Unfortunately, not all. For Jesus, speaking of Judas, added, "One of you is a devil." We need to faithfully respond with Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, for that reflection, and Father Chris Decker for the gospel. And Gabby, I must say, this is one of my favorite gospels. I know we're not here to talk about that too much, but I do want to point out it because it brings to the essence of the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist, which we can receive on a daily basis. And that's the church in itself. But anyway, thank you for that, Jimmy and Father Chris. In the meantime, we have some events we want to share with you. This is a fun one. It's coming up tomorrow night at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. You don't hear about it too much, but Catholics in the past, we were known for bingos, and that's right. It's the St. George Bingo Night. They're having it, and it's all to benefit the Acts Retreats at St. George Church Parish. It'll be from 5 to 8:30. It's just $1 a card. You got to bring cash, though. They're not taking any credit cards or checks or money orders, okay? And it's $1 a card, $10 for jambalaya dinner, so you could eat there as well while you play. Should be a lot of fun, and it's all for a good cause. So hopefully you'll get a chance to get out there and enjoy that tomorrow evening.
I love bingo. I have my Dopper. you guys. Like, I love bingo so much. I never win, though. I get close, but I never win.
Yeah.
So maybe one day I will. So anyway, highly encourage everyone to go to a bingo night. It's so much fun. And it's always, almost always for a good cause, and you learn a lot. So there you go. Okay. Another event, Pregnancy Services, a program of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, is asking you for help. They are in desperate need of diapers and wipes for new and expectant mothers. With more than 12,000 diapers distributed monthly, that's a lot of diapers, they are struggling to keep up with demand. Every donation makes a world of difference for these families. You can visit ccmedia.live to find out more information on how you can help these expectant mothers with this kind of supplies for their family. Diapers and wipes, something that is absolutely necessary.
You're right about that. And Catholic author and speaker Dan Burke is wrapping up his stay in Baton Rouge. Tomorrow, he is going to do a mini retreat at St. Agnes Catholic Church from 9:30 to 12:45. The topic, Setting the Captives Free, and it's Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. Should be a good one. It's $29 a person. All are welcomed, and there will be confession at 7:30, Mass at 8, and the talk begins at 9:30, as I said. St. Agnes, by the way, located on East Boulevard in Baton Rouge.
Well, the Magnificat Metairie chapter is a ministry for Catholic women, and they are inviting you to a prayer breakfast over with Sandy France in Sherwood Forest in Baton Rouge. The music ministry of Merci Beaucoup will lead in a praise and worship. Sandy is a cradle Catholic, and she will talk about her journey to the faith, which really wasn't flourished until after her mother's death. So she kind of dives into her testimony a little bit. Go to ccmedia.live. These prayer breakfasts are very popular and very highly encouraged to attend from those who have attended it in the past. So ccmedia.live.
Very good. There have been several diaconate discernment sessions taking place in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Well, there's another one in Baton Rouge tomorrow from 9 to noon. It's going to be at FRANU in the Liberal Arts Building, Room 11. If you are a man who might be possibly feeling the call to the diaconate, you've been discerning, here's your opportunity to go to that meeting and see what it's all about. So far, there have been 23 men who have committed to the diaconate program in the diocese. They're that close to getting started. That is a wonderful thing. So don't be shy. Investigate. See if God's calling you to that. In the meantime, it's 15 after the hour. We have more coming your way on this Friday morning of Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 19th. Today we celebrate St. Gianna Barretta Mola. In fewer than 40 years of life, Gianna Mola became a pediatrician, wife, mother, and saint. The 10th of 13 children, Gianna earned degrees in medicine and surgery, eventually opening a clinic in Mazzaro, Italy. Her 1955 marriage to Peter Mola was a happy one, and together they became the parents of a son and two daughters. Early in her fourth pregnancy, Gianna learned that a tumor was growing in her uterus along with the baby. Although the doctors recommended performing a hysterectomy, Gianna insisted that they remove only the offending tumor. With great faith and courage, Gianna made the choice that enabled her child to survive. 7 months later, Gianna died from childbirth complications following the delivery of her third daughter, Gianna Emanuela. At her canonization in 2004, Pope John Paul II said of Gianna Barretta Mola, "This holy mother of a family remained heroically faithful to the commitment she made on the day of her marriage. The extreme sacrifice she sealed with her life testifies that only those who have the courage to give of themselves totally to God and to others are able to fulfill themselves." There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Our first guest today is Dr. Samuel Shepherd. He's an associate professor of biology over at Ave Maria University in Florida. And today we are talking about the university's new minor in agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship. Sam, this interview is perfect because Earth Day is coming up on Monday, and it's a perfect opportunity to get out, plant a tree, plant a flower, and kind of get your hands in the soil and be with the earth. And I don't know, I love planting. I love being out in my garden. Tell us about this wonderful new major, or minor, excuse me, in agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Hi, Gabby. Hi, Damien. Lovely to be with you. Yeah, good start. I think the planting a tree thing, what our idea here is that we want to recognize that, firstly, the Catholic Church has a really wonderful and beautiful rendering of how and why we should care for the earth, but also a nice understanding of how, of exactly what that involves in our daily life. And yeah, we're going to start a small farm here with a lot of local Florida tropical fruit trees and bushes, and get the students spending a lot of time out there actually engaged with the earth doing this kind of thing. And then at the same time, they're going to have classes in some theology and some science and some small business, things like that, that'll help them to place their digging and growing in context.
That is so cool. Okay, so a majority of the students will be outside with hands-on experience in this little farm that you guys are putting together.
That's really what I'm hoping. Well, that's the plan, yeah, and it really looks like it's going to happen. So they'll spend, I think, about a quarter of their time outside, yeah, actually digging.
That's
amazing.
Reminds
me, I've got to make an order of some spades and axes and things pretty soon for the fall.
Can you tell us about some of the classes that some of the students will be taking if they go and register for this minor or declare this minor?
Yeah, so they will be doing two science classes, environmental science and ecology, which seem most pertinent. They'll do one class in small business. I would like them to be able to have the tools to be able to start their own small enterprise if they like. I don't know whether that will be growing eco-veggies or keeping some animals or something like that. They'll do a class in theology, which is the kind of, which will be about the ethics of stewardship and the Catholic framing of how stewardship works. And then they'll do two classes that are directly, which are new classes directed at the minor. One is the kind of technical aspects of sustainable agriculture and so on, and that will be one of the labs where they're outdoors actually doing the work on the farm. And then they'll do another kind of broad scale, I think really fun class, which will be reading across the Catholic and environmental literature on sustainability, and also, again, spending quite a lot of time outside.
That's amazing. Oh, Damian, one of the things that I have found is a lot of Catholics are going toward homesteading or sustainability and kind of going from farm to table literally in their own backyard. And I found that this movement, it really is growing. Sam, why is it important for us as Catholics to learn about what the church teaches on the environment? Because the church does teach on this.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I think... And like you say, this is a growing movement, but there's not really a wide enough understanding amongst Catholics, I think, of how well developed and how beautifully the church does talk about how we should care for the environment. And it's what's exciting to me about it is that when we think about being a Catholic steward, it's actually something much more complete than just being a secular steward of the environment, because the church teaches us that we're stewards not just of nature, but of creation. And Pope Francis says in his encyclical Laudato Si that when we become a steward of creation, that makes us part of God's loving plan. So we're not just caring for the earth because it's a set of resources that we need. We're caring for the earth, and that's a participation in God's transcendent plan for salvation for the whole universe. So it makes us something completely different, something really exciting. It kind of sanctifies our work of looking after the earth.
Yeah. Most definitely. It really brings us to become good stewards of what God created. And it really brings us back to the basics, learning basic skills of what our ancestors learned, literally growing food. And not many of us get to experience that or learn those skills and techniques. Why is it important, Sam, for kids and those enrolling in this minor to learn those basic skills of growing and cultivating?
I think there's a few reasons for that. One is it's very good for us as people. We're embodied, aren't we? We are actually animals in a way, and so it's lovely to get out there, just encounter creation, dig in the earth, be there, be outside. it's only that time when you're actually engaged in physical tasks outside without your evil cell phone that you start to see the beauty of creation. You start to kind of become part of it. And so that's a really wonderful contribution to you as a person, to your development of virtue, to the development of understanding what God's made. But it's also fantastic just to be able to grow your own food, to record, especially for kids, to be able to grow your own food. There's so much satisfaction in there, planting seeds and seeing it grow and harvesting the fruits, or having some hens and getting out there in the morning collecting your own eggs. It's just a completely different thing, isn't it?
How much, Sam, how much prayer goes into that? Because if you're me, I can't grow anything. I kill plastic plants. So, I mean, I am terrible. And you're right, Gabby. My grandfather, I mean, that's why he came to this country. They were growing strawberries and tomatoes and things like that in Independence, Louisiana. And I'm serious. If I was younger, and I know you're never too old to learn something new, but boy, I would definitely want to learn a little bit more about doing this, because how cool would that be in your backyard? You go grab some fresh veggies and fruits and put them on your table and share them with your family and even neighbors. You get back into socializing, I think, when you do these type of things, because you can exchange goods.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly that. Yeah, to get out there together as a community. And that's part of the purpose of this farm in Ave Maria, is it's going to be partly focused towards this miner and the university, but it's also going to provide an opportunity for the local community to have a little allotment and be able to participate themselves. So that social aspect of growing stuff together, cooking together, eating together, selling stuff in the local farmers market together. Yeah, what a great way of building community.
Yes, most definitely. And for those who don't have the opportunity to do this, highly encourage taking a look at your local farmers market. I know that's what we like to do as well. My mother-in-law has gone full into homesteading, chickens, growing herbs, vegetables and stuff, and it is not stopping. I mean, I've learned a lot from her, and I have found that a lot of young people are moving toward that and just getting back down to the basics. So, Sam, I'm assuming this is an in-person class that people will have to attend.
It just absolutely has to be, yeah, because it's all about being there, isn't it? About actually doing the digging and the growing and the earth and stuff, yeah. Actually really participating. But the idea is, I think, that once people have come here and spent their bit of time learning it here, they'll then spread out and then be able to participate in these little initiatives, homesteading initiatives and community initiatives all over the United States, well, I hope all over the world, basically. I'm from Ireland myself, but you've got to be here, you've got to be part of it.
We were wondering.
You can head out.
Yeah. We were trying to figure out what part of Florida you were really from with that accent.
Yeah, no, but it's funny, you're talking about your plastic plant, killing your plastic plant. We've been here less than 2 years, and last year we tried to grow Irish vegetables here, and it was a total disaster. So this year we planted a banana tree, and we've got papayas going on and all that sort of thing. We've accepted that you have to be embedded in the local system.
Yeah, well, the only thing a lot of Americans like is that Irish whiskey.
Oh, yeah. They're quite right, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. That's the next stage, isn't it? Okay. Start a small distillery or something.
Oh, no. Can you imagine? Sam, okay, so you baited the hook. This is so interesting, so unique. I absolutely love it. Just getting down to the basics, learning those skills. So how can people find out more information about this new minor of agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship over at Ave Maria University?
Yeah, the thing to do is either get in touch with me. There was recently a news item on the Ave Maria University website which introduced the minor and which gives my contact details. If people have specific questions, they can ask me, or they can get in touch with the admissions center here at the university.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Samuel Shepherd, Associate Professor of Biology at Ave Maria University. Thank you so much for joining
us. Yeah, thank you, Gabby. Yeah. Thanks, Damien. Lovely to speak to you. God bless your plastic plants.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, Doc.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless. Have a good day.
You got it. I am serious. I cannot grow anything, no matter what it is. I try hard, but I don't
Are
know
you
if
watering
I. Sometimes
them?
I. Yeah. Well, yeah. I water, but it's like maybe I don't put the right fertilizer. I don't put them in the right soil. It's one thing after another. But
well,
I'm trying.
I'm
going to let you know.
Thoughts to them?
I'm going.
You got to.
Here's what
talk
I'll do. I'll
them.
Take pictures of what I plant. It's primarily flower stuff. I don't grow vegetables or anything like that. But flowers, for sure. My wife wants them, but by 30 days after they're in the ground, they're dead. So But I'm going to take pictures of what I plant, and we'll see how they develop. And we could show them on the air, and maybe just once and for all, I can finally do it right. I might have to take Sam's course to do it, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the tips is to see where you're actually planting them, what you're planting, and how much you should water them, how much sun they should get. It's a science.
It's that thing on the label that says full sun, some sun, of a gun. I mean, that's the sun I wind up with.
You know what? You're a cactus guy. I think you should start with a cactus because you really don't have to water them much. and they look super cute. Put them by a nice little window where they can get some sun.
All right.
Maybe you should start with a cactus instead of a flower.
You're going to see. We'll see how we do.
Okay.
I'm going to need some guidance to say the least.
There you go. Oh, man. Okay. And then we'll acquire that new skill together as a wake-up crew. We'll keep this plant alive. It'll be like keeping the egg alive when you were a kid. You know how you had to care for an egg? Anyway. Okay. Oh. Michael Litchens joins us. We're changing the topic and talking about spiritual warfare when we return from the break. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
It's 35 after the hour, and we've got a special announcement, don't we, Gabby?
Yes, we do. We just wanted to wish a very happy birthday to the legend, Jeff Blackwell.
Hey, hey.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, team.
Grateful for you. So grateful.
I'd sing, but I wouldn't want to ruin your birthday. So.
We're going to have a birthday pizza for breakfast, okay?
Oh, that's a dream come true. Oh, my gosh.
It is.
So, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you very much, y'all.
Okay. Well, time to introduce our next guest. It's Michael Litchens. He is a Catholic author. He's here to talk about a book entitled Get Behind Me, Satan, a topic we are always faced with on some time or another. And I think sometimes we don't talk about the devil enough, but we will this morning. Michael, welcome to Wake Up.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a joy to join you all.
This book is focused on Father Gabriel Amort's, who was the Pope's exorcist. Is it his writings and compiled into one book? Share with us the whole premise of the book.
Absolutely. So, yes, it's Father Amort. This book was originally published in 2013, just a couple years before he died. And it's a basic background into spiritual warfare, as well as some insights from Father Amort's ministry. He goes over everything from who the devil is, what his work entails, and then also, but more importantly, how we can defend ourselves against the devil in spiritual warfare.
A lot of people don't even think the devil is real, or if it is, they don't think much about him. And for me, I've always had a spiritual battle with Satan. And I don't mind telling him to get behind me. I tell him to get out of my life on an ongoing basis because he tries to disrupt what goes on, especially when he sees you doing God's will. He just likes to aggravate the heck out of you, to say the least. And there's a number of ways in which we can see Satan in our lives. Share with us a few of those from the book, from Father Amort.
Sure can. So, something Father Amort says that I really enjoyed in this book is he reminds everyone that the devil is monotonous, painfully monotonous is what Father Amort says. And that means that he is basically doing roughly the same things you can imagine, temptation being the main weapon the devil uses. We human beings are very easy. We are easily tempted, distracted. So that's going to be the majority of our spiritual warfare is going to be just resisting the temptations of the devil. The more extreme example of what the devil can do is possession. That one, thankfully, is pretty rare. Most of us won't have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can deal with the devil in other ways, such as what's Father Amort called infestation. This is when demons possess homes, objects, animals, art, things like that. This is your classic haunted house scenario. And then, of course, there's also sometimes God permits in cases of extreme holiness, such as the Cure d'Ars or Padre Pio. Mm-hmm. He'll permit that the devil can attack you, similar to the book of Job, as a way of testing your faith. And this is when physical attacks are manifest. Like I said, that one you don't see as often. You're going to deal with a lot more temptation and things like that. Mm-hmm. But those are also, thankfully, the easiest to resist and the easiest to be protected from.
And so he even provides the book. It's a great book. It really is. The lessons from even the saints on how to overcome temptation and attacks from the evil one. Share a few of those. Mm-hmm. We're just highlighting the things that you'll find in this book, but it's very interesting. Go ahead and share some of those.
Yeah, it's a short book, but full of a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he shares is that the easiest protection we can have against Satan and his attacks is simply to cultivate a life of prayer and go to the sacraments. In fact, even mm-hmm. as an exorcist, something Father Amorth stressed that as an exorcist, he would send people back to church. He would ask them how often they were going to Mass, how often they were going to confession. And if they were not going often, that would be his first task, is to say, all right, let's get back to church. So thankfully, God has already provided us the tools and the things we need. The things we should be desiring for anyways are the easiest ways to protect ourselves. And as the saints would also tell us, especially Padre Pio, a life of prayer is one of the best defenses against the devil. Also, the thing that, as far as I can tell, annoys him the most is Thomas More pointed out, the devil can't stand to be mocked, but also what he can't stand more than anything is a person who is in a life of prayer.
Yeah, and we're talking to Michael Lynchins about the book entitled Get Behind Me, Satan, and we're just trying to bring to the forefront that the devil does exist, but you don't have to be afraid of him, you have to be aware of him.
Precisely. In fact, we don't need to indulge in curiosity or fear of him, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Father Amorth, something he said that I find amazing is that in all his time as an exorcist, which he performed tens of thousands of exorcisms, saw some interesting things during that time, but he never felt fear. He relied on the Mama Mary, he went to the saints, and most importantly, he relied on God to protect him, and he knew he was well protected. So we don't have to have any fear.
So as you were researching the book, what jumped out at you?
I already mentioned it, but what jumped out to me was Father Amorth makes this point a couple times in this book, but how just monotonous the devil is. This was even a point that during an exorcism, Father Amorth asked the devil, why are you monotonous? And the devil admitted, yeah, I'm monotonous. I absolutely am. But it works because humans will fall for his tricks, so he'll just keep doing the same tactics over and over again.
Okay, and as far as if someone gets the book, is there anything in it that he will share a little bit about some of his exorcisms to prove that the devil can possess someone?
He shares quite a few stories. A lot of this is more of his spiritual insights, but he shares a few stories from his work as an exorcist. And the resource he provides that I really enjoy is in the back of the book are prayers of deliverance and prayers of protection that he personally found the most effective and ones he would pray regularly. So I love those ones.
Yeah, yeah. And he also explains the origin of hell and the primary tactics the devil uses to pursue souls, which you touched on. But hell does exist.
Mm-hmm. It does. And something, as he pointed out, hell was not part of God's original plan. That was not something he intended. Hell was created effectively by the devil's disobedience. Hmm. Because they rebelled against God and because they would not stand being in heaven, they still wanted to get as far away from the love of God as possible and thus created hell.
Yeah, well, Satan is the deceiver of all deceivers, and I'm just starting Acts 29 with Father John Ricardo, and you familiar with the Rescue Project, Michael?
I'm not familiar, no.
Well, it's great, and one of the topics is the enemy is the enemy. And he says there's five things that we need to be aware of when it comes to Satan. One, he deceives, he lies, he divides, he flatters, and then he discourages you. He wants to depress you and get you in a world of doubt. And so that correlates a little bit with the Father's book here. And it's that's why I think we need to be aware of it. I just want to bring it to the forefront. I don't think we hear it from the pulpit enough. Do you?
I agree. In fact, Father Amorth, that was one of his main concerns and why he wrote as many books as he did, is he felt he touches on this in this book that after the Enlightenment and after a lot of historical events, we don't even believe in evil sometimes, that it's hard to even make people aware of it in this world. And it's something from the pulpit that we need to hear more from, is
well,
that the devil is real and he does attack.
Yep. And this book is a wake-up call for those who feel that way. Michael Litchens, where do they go real quick to get the book?
They can go to their local Catholic bookstore, sophiainstitute.com, and we'll be happy to get it for you.
All righty, my man. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Sister Marjorie Hebert. She is the CEO and President of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Sister Marjorie. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and there's so many things happening over at Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. This one, oh my goodness, the Peace Prayer Walk. Tell us about this. Highly encourage everyone to attend. It really is such a powerful walk of prayer. Tell us about the upcoming Peace Prayer Walk and how people can participate.
Well, we're celebrating our volunteers and invite them to join us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Schulte Hall on the campus of Notre Dame Seminary. This is Global Volunteer Month, and we want to celebrate and thank our many volunteers and ask them to join us in prayer and recognition. We're going to walk the walk around that neighborhood. If it's raining, we still will go on because we'll just go into Schulte Hall to pray together for our agency, our clients, and our volunteers. We're celebrating our 100 years of Catholic Charity services, and we could not have done 100 years of charity work without our volunteers. And this is our salute. How best can we do it than with joy?
Yes, and you have so many people helping you guys. You guys are boots on the ground when it comes to natural disaster needs for everyone. Those who are looking for pregnancy services, which we talked about earlier on in today's show with the need for diapers and wipes, and helping those like over at PACE and more. So let's talk about this. Second Chance Job Fair is coming up, and it's dedicated to those who are looking to successfully reenter society after incarceration. Tell us a little bit about this event, this job fair.
We're joined with our partners in United Way for our Cornerstone Builders Prisoner Reentry Program. And this opportunity on May 17th is a job fair, and it gives these individuals another chance, a second chance. We're working with United Way along with Jefferson Parish. And so the event will be held at Jefferson Parish East Bank Regional Library in Metairie. And more details will come out. The event itself is May 17th. Cornerstone is a big support for our clients whom we serve in their efforts to re-enter into society after having spent their time in prison. We assist them in many ways, helping them find employment, other legal assistance, and whatever ways we can help these men and women re-enter society. The details of this can be found on our website in our events section.
Okay, and that website is ccano.org, and such a wonderful opportunity to serve others and help them get back into, you know, life outside of prison, which can be a very difficult and challenging thing for many. So thank you so much for your help with that as well. Let's talk about the summertime. Summer serves students engaging in reflective volunteer experiences. The summer is a perfect time for those to earn their service hours. A lot of people have more time, free time, and a wonderful opportunity to give back. So talk about how we can give back this summer.
Since 2009, we have conducted our CERT program, and it served over nearly 1,000 high school students, helping them get their necessary service hours. And together, these students have put in more than 30,000 volunteer hours in our community in various volunteer services. We have a week scheduled for June and one for July. So there's plenty of time to still register. So parents, if you're looking for that way for your children to get those service hours, we can accommodate them. And again, if you visit our website, ccano.org, our events corner will give you a lot of detail and other information. And we welcome the students in coming. And let's together we can do a lot of service for those in need.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. CCANO.org is the website Sister Marjorie has been giving out during her segment today. I also linked it in today's Facebook Live video comment section. That's Wake Up Friday. Sister Marjorie Hebert, CEO of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, thank you so much for all that you do. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you and your work.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. They are in need for a lot of things, like we've talked about earlier today. One of the things that Woman's New Life Clinic is looking for, because they also help those who in the community, not only with well woman care, but those who are contemplating abortion, they help kind of, you know, learn a little bit more about what's going on, kind of provide resources for these men and women, really these women, the men who accompany the women as well, who step into their office. Well, Saved in Hope is coming up, and it's a wonderful opportunity to give back to Woman's New Life Clinic and the wonderful work they do in Southeast Louisiana. It's a dinner. It's taking place in Baton Rouge, and the event will take place May 8th at Drusilla Ballroom. Begins at 6 p.m. The keynote speaker is Dr. John Bruchalski. He's a pro-life gynecologist and founder of Divine Mercy Care and author of Two Patients, My Conversion from Abortion to Life-Affirming Medicine. He will give his testimony. You heard him on Wake Up not too long ago. You can go to ccmedia.live and support Woman's New Life Clinic and the wonderful work they do with affirming life. So definitely check that out and all the other wonderful events taking place. You know, Damien, with the summertime approaching, there's a lot of things going on and ways that people can participate.
You mentioned Drusilla Restaurant. Yesterday is where they had the recipients of the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Awards presented to all those in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And we want to give a shout out to our former co-host, Alicia Quibido, who received the award on behalf of St. Michael's High School. And so congratulations, Alicia, on that. And also want to mention St. Jude Catholic Church Church Fair. It starts, the family fair starts tonight. Get on out there, have some fun, and plenty of food. We made muffaladas yesterday for the Italian booth. You'll also have meatball po' boys and pizza if you want. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's in Baton Rouge, of course. Yes, that's where I live. Thank you, Jeff, for that. And with that, we also want to wrap up our day and our week with a beautiful prayer from St. Gianna. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving Jesus, I come to you to ask you through the love and merits of your Sacred Heart the grace to comprehend and to do always your holy will, the grace to confide in you, the grace to rest securely through time and eternity in your loving divine arms. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Damian, for being an awesome co-host today. It's always a good time. It's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Same
Thank
here.
You so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director. And hey, David Dawson is actually our stand-in video technical director for today. Thank you so much, David. It was a wonderful show, and we're so grateful for you both. And we're grateful that you're joined us today, and we'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.